Let me pray over you first. I feel led to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother. As he shares God's word with us, may our ears be opened up. May we hear the word of God. May it not go away void. May it change. May the word of God change who we are. May God use my brother here to share the word. And that it's life changing. Also, I pray for him. A hedge of protection around. He studied for the word here, and as he preaches this word, Satan is going to get mad that the truth is being told. I pray a hedge of protection around my brother and his family. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can you hear me? Is it on? Oh,
it's
yeah.
On,
okay,
sir.
Amen. Hey, that'll work. Amen. Praise the Lord. And glad to be back one more time. And it's truly a blessing, making me start to think y'all lack me. I'm coming back 2 times in a row, amen. But it's truly, truly an honor to be here. Whenever I get an opportunity to present the word of God, I try not to pass up on it, amen. Because I know before I came to the Lord, whenever I had opportunity to do other old crazy stuff, I always took that opportunity. But why not take a great opportunity to glorify God? And, you know, I like to give my testimony of what he's done in me and through me. I came to Minnesota May of 1998. I came here with one agenda. I had my own plan, my own agenda. I was married at the time, came here with my ex, but now we're the best of friends and all family, bought a house, the cars and all that. But then I came here May of 98, November of 98. The bottom completely dropped from my life. I went through the most dramatic experience I can ever go through. Found myself going through all kind of legal trouble and so on. Find myself doing 8 months in the Hennepin County workhouse. But here's the deal. That was the best 8 months of my life. February 6, 1999, in a stinking jail cell, I dropped on my knees and surrendered my life to the Lord. And I guarantee you, from that day forward, my life have not been the same. And even as my brother was testifying, when he said he'd never leave nor forsake, sometime God orchestrates, at least for me, situation so we can come to him. Amen. And I'm thankful the route he allowed me to take, because I've been running from him since that day forward. He's been doing great and mighty things in my life, and I fell in love with the Lord. Had no idea what he was doing at the time, but here's the deal. I had to trust him no matter how it looked, no matter how it seemed. I had to do blind trust. Was the situation good? No. Was the circumstance at their best? No. But if I'd have looked at my situation and circumstance, I would have, you know, went on what they was telling me. But I had to believe and trust God. And as Romans 8:28 said, and we know that God would cause all things to work for the good of those who love him. And I know that, I didn't know at the time, but now I know that he was doing something great and awesome. He was working out his plan compared to my plan, because he looked at my plan and started laughing. Amen. He said, let me show you exactly what I desire to do in your life. And I'm thankful this day forward. And that's what I want to talk about, making an adjustment in your life, adjustment in your life. Today is January the 19th. 2014, we all got plans, we all got goals and so on, what we desire to do, and you know, with the beginning of the year. But did you submit those goals and plans to the Lord? Because we always try to do outside of what he want us to do. But if you're truly, truly serving God, if you truly surrender your life to him, you can't do your thing. You got to adjust to God's plan. Can I get amen? And that's what I want to talk about, adjustment, making adjustment for the rest of the year, beginning the year off right, beginning the year off what God desires for you to do, not only as a church as a whole, but with your life individually, because God can use Northbrook as a whole, but he can also use you in your environment, your individual environment. But you can't be doing your own thing. You got to adjust to God's plan. And I didn't know that, you know, when God began to turning the pages in my life, and to me that represented that he's saying, hey, this chapter of your life is over with. When he starts turning the pages in your life, he's letting you know, this chapter of your life is over with. I'm doing something new in you. He's beginning to do something great and awesome in you, no matter what you're dealing with or what you're going through. Because I know my brother and sister here, because I know Brittany for the last 14, 15 years. And I know them two got married, but God is doing a new thing with them. He's doing a new chapter in their life. Same with Brandon here. I've been knowing them. Well, they basically adopted me. Their father adopted me when I was going through my struggles and so on. They was my adopted family. So I've been knowing them for a while, but God turning the pages in their life. Certain chapters, that chapter was over when he's doing something new. He's been doing that since the beginning. When he called Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old when he began his life with the Lord, but God began to move in his life. God began to turn the pages in his life, letting him know, hey, this chapter of your life is over with. I got a plan and I got a future for you. And he told Abraham what? To leave what? His family, his country, his whole environment. But it's amazing what Abraham did. He had a lot of stuff. He had acquired a lot of stuff. But Abraham, he went and he did exactly what God said. He had to make what? An adjustment in his life. He had to adapt to God's will and God's plan for his life. And one thing I know, God's will and God's plan and his kingdom would not be centered around your time frame. Can I get amen with that? God's will and his plan would not be centered around your time frame, because he's an awesome God. He know what is best for you. He know how he desires to use you, and he know what he want to do in your life. The same with Moses. When he called Moses, when Moses had an encounter with the Lord, he told Moses to do certain things. Moses went back to his father-in-law, Jethro. He went and got his family, everything he had acquired. He didn't do it on his own. He went and adapted to God's plan and God's purpose for his life. You cannot follow God and continue to live life as normal. It's not going to work that way. You cannot follow God at the same time and continue to do your own thing, because God is not going to be wrestling with you. Can I get amen with that? So you got to learn to adapt to God's purpose and his plan for your life. And when you first start, it's not easy. It is not easy doing what God wants you to do, because we always struggle of want to do our own thing. Can I get amen with that? And there's time and look like God would ask you to do something that is impossible. But he would never ask you to do something that cannot be done. And better yet, if he's sending you, he's going to equip you. If he's sending you, he's going to equip you. And one thing I know, that God, he never calls to qualify, but he qualifies to call. He never calls to qualify, but he qualifies to call. Can I get amen? Look at the people he chose throughout the Bible there. Look at all those great, mighty men and women that he used. We would say what they were, second class or mid-fit or so on. God knows exactly what he's doing. Look what Jesus did on purpose. Now, would you say the Pharisees, would you say they was qualified? They knew the law up and down, right? They knew every dot, every tittle, and so on. But on purpose, he bypassed them. On purpose, he looked over them. Look who he chose. He chose fishermen. He chose those that was despised. Even in 1 Corinthians, it said God chose the lowly, the despised thing. He chose those that he know would truly adapt to his plan, his purpose, and his will. You got to learn to adapt. And I guarantee you, once you get on board with God, you'll never be disappointed. That decision I made was the best decision in my life because I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a plan. Well, I had an old stupid plan for my own self, but I did not have a good purpose, a vision for my life. And once I surrendered to the Lord, I went in that workhouse and I came out someone totally different. I came out with a purpose. I came out with a vision and I came out with His master plan. I had to learn to adapt to doing it God's way. Was the situation always ideal? No. But it always benefit me in the long run. When you learn to do exactly what He say do, you benefit from it. Every time you do it God's way, we always benefit from it. Can I get amen? And my first scripture I desire to go to would be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 and verse 24. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and what? And money, or either mammon at the same time. And my thing is, I cannot continue life as usual and stay where I'm at and go with God at the same time. The two would pull against each other. Can I get amen? You cannot continue to try to do your own thing and walk with God. Abraham had been doing his own thing for 75 years. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. When God come in, you got to learn to adapt. He would use us in the prime of our life, or He would use you in the latter half of your life. Both instant, you got to adapt to what He desires to do in your life. You cannot continue to live life as usual and expect for God to use you in a mighty way. It won't happen. You got to give unto what He desires to do in your life, and you're never be disappointed. God wanted to use the latter half of your life as much as the beginning. The woman at the well, when He met her, she was in the latter half of her life. What was her situation, the ideal situation? No. But at once she came in, adapted to what He desired to do in her life, He used her greatly. Guess what? He rewrote her past. He rewrote her history there. The enemies, you know, used her in a certain way, but once she adapted to Him, God, He just rewrote the meaning of her past. Man, he'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for me. He's an awesome God, but He wants you to truly trust Him. I don't care how it looks right now, no matter what you're dealing with, what you're going through, if you would adapt to God's plan, if you would just believe and trust Him, and once again, you won't be disappointed. He's letting you know, hey, come on, get on board with me. Come on, trust me. Come on, walk with me. We all sing that song, just a what? Closer walk with Thee, O Lord. And I guarantee you, the more you walk with God, the more you continue to see Him in His light, the more you'll let go of what you desire to do, and you'll get a hold to Him. You adapt to what He desire to do in your life. And I got the definition for adjustment. To adapt, conform, or to bring into agreement with. When you bring into agreement what you want to do with what God desires to do in your life, your whole mindset has changed, your whole vision has changed, because you know that God always have your best interest at heart. Can I get amen with that? And Abraham learned that. It said he went and he gathered his whole household, and he begins to follow God. And along the way, he did some adapting. Amen. And you cannot just make a one-time adaptation, because I know most of us gave our life to the Lord few years ago, and it's not good just to make a one-time adjustment there. When you're walking and serving God, there's adjustment along the way, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You cannot just make one adjustment in your life when you're dealing with God. And we see that with Abraham. All throughout Abraham's walk and all throughout Abraham's life with God, he was making adjustment in his life with the Lord. Because, you know, at 75 years of doing things your way for 75 years, you're not just going to change just like that. Can I get amen? So he had to make adjustment in his life. And he knew that he could not continue life as usual and just walk with God. It won't work that way. So it's up to you to truly trust God. It's up to you to make that step. Say, yes, Lord, whatever you desire to do, I'll make that adjustment. Whether it's at Northbrook as a whole or with your life individually. Can I get amen? Even adjusting to having people come in outside of Pastor John there. Because I know me and him have been working together for a few years that, you know, you make adjustment to the way people do things and so on. But God desires for you to come in and truly make an adjustment with Northbrook as a whole and with your life as an individual. Because with Brother Andrew and his beautiful bride there, they had to make an adjustment to each other, right? Had to get to know each other, had to adjust to certain lifestyle, certain this and that. And the same with the plan and the purpose of God. You got to come in and get on board with what God desires to do in your life. And who in here know that God is telling you to make an adjustment? Let me see a couple of hands. Is it easy? I know. Everything, something when God tells you to do is not easy at first. He told the rich young ruler, go and what?
Sell everything.
To the rich young ruler, he thought he was asking him to do something wrong, right? But only if he'd have did what God told him to do, he'd have benefit from it there. And we know that adjustment don't come either, especially when you're dealing with God. Because you always think he always have your worst interest at heart, but he always have your best interest at heart. Can I get amen? So, Lord, why do you want me to do this? But he would say, just do it. When they were Jesus at the wedding, asked him to, you know, the wine, his mother said, just do what he say. And once they did what he say, they benefit from it. You would always benefit from it. Can I get amen with that one? Number two, following my master requires, you know, adjustment in life. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Everybody there. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the net. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They left everything they did. They made an adjustment to go with him. They got on board with what God was doing in their life and what God was desiring to do in your life. Once again, let me see the hand of those who God, if you know God is telling you to do something and you know you have to make an adjustment. Do it feel good? What'd you say? Do it feel good what God is telling you to do? Make that adjustment.
Yes, it changed my life.
Big time, right? Yeah. All right, Pastor John.
Sometimes it hurts, but the benefit's always good.
All right, always good there. Whatever you tell you to do, like I said, it hurts, but you always benefit from it. You're making those adjustments, right? And everything we do, we have to make adjustment. Even if you're starting a new job, you have to make adjustment. You have to get on board with what they're doing, you know, what they desire to do. Just make an adjustment with God, and you won't be disappointed there. He would not get on your schedule. God would never be on your schedule or time frame. The kingdom of God would never result around you. You would have to result around the kingdom of God. And if he want to use you in some kind of great capacity, well, let me see the show of hands who desire to be used by God. All right, you want to be used by God in a great way, right?
Amen.
But are you willing to get on board? Are you willing to make the necessary adjustment? Are you willing to make those necessary adjustments to get on board with what he's desiring to do in your life? Because if not, he'll just what? Pass you on by. We see that in the New Testament. If they wasn't willing to get on board with the Lord, he just went on to the next person. He'd have just passed them completely on by. Even as Moses was not, you know, willing to get on board with the Lord, he was going to use the next person who was in his life. He was going to use the next person in line. Moses had an encounter with the Lord, and he made an adjustment with him. I always say, if your Jesus do not have the power to change your life, you need to change your Jesus. If your Jesus do not have the power to change your life completely, you need to change your Jesus. Can I get amen with that? Amen. Because he's got the power. He can change your life if you want him to do it, if you want to get on board. And Abraham and God knew without separation, there can be no dedication. I'm going to say it again. Without separation, there can be no dedication. And he knew that he had to separate Abraham from that environment, separate Abraham from that which he was connected to if he wanted Abraham to be effective for him. Without separation, there can be no dedication. And we know some things what God is telling us to cut loose in our life. We know those people, those places, whatever it is. We know what he's telling you to cut loose and make an adjustment with it. Because you won't be effective for him if you're still connected to those things that he's telling you to let go of. That's why he told Abraham to leave your environment. Leave that environment you're in, because that environment going to contaminate what I'm desires to do in your life. So Abraham had to be willing to make the adjustment to walk with the Lord. We're in a new year, a new season, a new chapter in your life. New year, new season, and new chapter desires that you make an adjustment if you want to continue to be used of God greatly. Because I know you do the hayride in the summertime, right? And you was willing to go out and do something different. This a bold man I know personally. He'll take the risk. He'll get out of the boat and be willing to walk on the water. But he's doing something different. He's willing to go and do what nobody else can do. And God honors that faith. God honors you making that adjustment, doing something completely different. If you want to fill the church, you got to do something different, right? If you've done what you've always done, you're going to get what? What you've always got. Do something different. A new vision. A new purpose in life. He's getting on board with what God desiring to do. He's making an adjustment, doing a lot of different things that don't seem too cool at first, right? But I guarantee if you just believe and trust, watch what God would do. We started off 10 years ago with about 8 people at the church. And now we've grew and grew and grew because we had to make that adjustment. And the pastor, he thought somebody else was going to pastor the church, but God had called him to pastor, and he had no idea, but he had to make an adjustment. We started right in the inner city of Minneapolis. We deal with the people coming out of prison, drugs and alcohol, out of rehab, and we work with the homeless and so on. We had to make that adjustment. We had to adapt to certain situation and lifestyle, but in order to be effective, we had to do it God's way, remove all the negative thinking, remove all that, and do what God wanted us to do. And we're seeing the peoples coming in big time. He tell us to go into the highways and the byways and what? Compel them to come in. Well, we go into the treatment facility, we go into the jail, we go into the prison, we get the prostitutes off the street and so on. If you come to our church, you'll be surprised, the congregation that God is using. But everybody in there, they're adapting to how to do church. They're adapting to God's purpose and plan for their life. And better yet, a lot of them is getting employed. They're coming on board, getting their life together. God is doing some restoration, healing families, and so on. And they're coming on board and being restored. But they had to be willing to adapt. They had to be willing to adjust. They had to be willing to do something different. Come out of the comfort zone. There are times you really have to come out of your comfort zone if you want God to use you profoundly. And if he tell you to come walk on water, he's not going to let you sink. Can I get amen? If he called you, if he tell you to go, he's going to equip you. I'm going to say it again. If he called you, if he's sending you, he's going to equip you. He sent Abraham and he sent Moses, but did he send them empty-handed? He equipped them. He equipped them with power from up on high. And he want to equip you, and he will equip you as soon as you make that step of faith, and adjust and adapt to what he desires to do in your life. Walking with God would cost you something. If you want a closer walk with him, it's going to cost you a little something. Can I get amen with that? And you only know what that something is. You and the good Lord know what it is. Walking with God would cost you something. If you had a true experience with him, you should not be the same. He'll never leave you the same way he found you. God would never leave you the same way he found you. When he came and had that experience with Moses at the burning bush, Moses was never the same again. Amen. And God would never leave you the same way he finds you. I don't care how long it take. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. He'll never leave you the same. He's always molded. He's always shaping. He's always doing something in your life. Can I get amen with that? And who in here been walking with the Lord over a good 10 years? And he's always messing in your life, isn't it? He'll never leave you the same. He's always telling you to do this, do that, or come a little closer, or let's change this, let's change that. God would never leave you the same way. I don't care what's going on in your life, how long you've been doing it. He's always moving, and he'll never leave you alone. He's an awesome God. Only until you get ready to take us home to glory will we ever be complete in the Lord. Jeremiah 18 said when he went down to the potter's house, what did he see? Him working, had the clay on the wheel, and God is always molding, and he's always shaping your life. Abraham is a prime example. The reason I'm keep going back to him, he walked with God, what, 25, 30, 40, almost 50 years. When he was, how old was Abraham when he died? What, 175? How old? Yeah, 175. So when God called him, he was 75. So along the way, God was molding and shaping his life. All along the way, Abraham, bring your son Isaac so you can sacrifice. He was teaching him to trust him. He was teaching him to adapt a little bit more. Can I get amen? All right, God's kingdom and God's will is not going to be centered around my schedule and time frame. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, start with verse 57. As they were walking along the roads, a man said to him, I would follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I would follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Once again, he's not on your time frame. He's not on your schedule. The kingdom of God do not revolve around us. Can I get amen with that? We need to adapt to God's kingdom. And once you adapt to his way of doing things, once you adapt to his schedule, you'll be surprised how things in your life will begin to turn around. And I'm thankful that day I surrendered my life to the Lord. I'm thankful that I got on God's time frame and his schedule. Out of all those years of me trying to do this, trying to do that, out of all those years of me trying to make things right, I could never put my hands on it. But once I truly surrendered, February 6, 1999, things just begin to fall in place just like that. I basically said I found my rhythm in life. And once you hook up with God, that's when you find that rhythm. That's when you find that rhythm. You're on God's, thank you, Holy Ghost. You're on God's time frame. You're on his kingdom agenda. And your life begins, the rhythm of life. What you've been trying to accomplish out of all those years, once you trust God and believe him and adapt, I say that's that rhythm. You find that rhythm of life. You're doing this God's way, and you won't be disappointed. His way is always the best way. I'm going to have to keep emphasizing that, but you got the rhythm. That means you're in step with God, and there's no better place to be on earth than being in step with God. You're in his kingdom. You know that you're walking in his will. You know that you're in God's agenda there, that rhythm of life. No matter what comes up against you, but you know that you are truly in God's kingdom. Well, you know, we always say the Lord's prayer, thy will be done, thy what? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But if you don't know what goes on in his kingdom, how would you know his will? Or vice versa, if you don't know his will, how can you adapt to his kingdom? But once you truly surrender, you find that rhythm in life, and you're walking with God. You're in God's schedule. You're in his time frame. The best place to be is walking arm in arm with your Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen? All right, the fourth one. Until I am ready to make an adjustment necessary to follow and obey what God has said, I will be of little use to him. Until you're willing to make those necessary adjustments. And we know what God has been telling us. Well, you know what God has been telling you to do for the last few years, the 5 years. You know the adjustment that he's been, come on, trust me, come on, let it go a little bit more. Leave it alone, come on, leave it alone. Let me work it out. You quit handling it. He's saying, come on, let me take care of it for you. But for some reason, we always want to help God out. Can I get amen? We always think God need our help. No, you're doing it the wrong way. You're not doing it the way I desire for you to do, Lord. But until you're willing to make those necessary adjustments, you'll be of little use to him. And it should be of Mark chapter 10. Mark Mark 10 and verse 17. Are we there? As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, who make the initial contact here? It is the rich young ruler, right? He's coming to Jesus. He wants something from him. He's trying to get something from Jesus. But look what's going on. He's not willing to make the adjustment. He's not willing to do what the Lord is asking him to do, though he wants something from him, because he ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees and called him good teacher. He was trying to get something from Jesus. But look at the conversation here. Even though he wants something, he's not willing to make an adjustment to get what he wants from the Lord. Amen. He's trying to do this, got this something in his hand and holding this hand out. Okay, verse 18. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandment. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. But honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you would have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And I'm going to finish up. The reason he went away sad, because what? He didn't want to make the adjustment, right? He wanted something, but he wasn't willing to do what it requires to get what he wanted. He wanted the kingdom of God to center around his agenda. He wasn't willing to get on the kingdom of God's agenda. Once again, his time frame and God's kingdom would not be scheduled around your time frame. No ifs, ands, buts about it. If you're coming to God, if you're believing and trusting him, you got to get on his schedule. You've got to get on his time frame. And if you're willing to make those necessary adjustments, God will use you great and mightily there. But only until you're willing to make those necessary adjustments. I don't care if you've been dealing with it 10, 15, 20 years. If you're willing to say, "Hey, I give it all up to you, Lord. I surrender. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of struggling with it. I want to get off my schedule and let me get on your schedule. Let me believe and let me trust you for this. Will you take me just a little further?" Look at verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciple, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciple was amazed at his word, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciple was even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who have left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Home, brother, sister, mother, children, and field, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last." Jesus said, "Hey, if you're willing to make that adjustment, if you're willing to get on my schedule, if you're willing to get on my time frame, you will benefit from it." Peter said, "Hey, we left everything to follow you." One thing about God, he'll be no debtor to a man. Amen. God is an awesome God. If he's called you to do something, he's going to equip you to do it. If you left everything and followed him, he's going to replace it. I don't care how valuable it was to you. God will always give you something better in his place. If you choose to completely walk away, you'll be surprised what God would do in your life. This is 2014, the first month of a new year, amen? And God want to do something great and awesome. But you have to make that initial decision. Don't wait down the road and try to make the decision. Why not start the year off right? Why not start a good year, a new year off right, doing the right thing? And that right thing is making an adjustment to the kingdom of God, adapting to what God desiring to do in your life. Why continue to struggle? Why continue to wrestle with that thing? Why continue to hold on to what God is telling you to let go? Why continue to do that? I don't care how long you've been doing it. Just trust God. Believe him. Make the necessary adjustment and watch what happens in your life. You cannot outgive the kingdom of God. Can I get amen with that? You cannot outgive God. I don't care how it looks or how good you are, how bad you are. You cannot outdo the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would not be outdone by no man. Jesus was always saying, and the kingdom of God is as such, and the kingdom of heaven is like this, the man who left all just to follow him. God is an awesome God. He's only waiting for you. Once again, let me see the show of hands of those who want to be used greatly by God. No matter how old you are, no matter how long you be doing it, but are you willing to make those necessary adjustments? And everybody know what those adjustments is, amen? If you can spend any kind of time with God, you know what he's telling you to do. You know what he's been tugging on your heart. You know what the Holy Spirit has been whispering in your ear. I love my sister's testimony. Though she couldn't holler, say anything or hear, but she felt his presence. The same with my brother there. He was in a world spin there, but he knew the presence of God was in there with you. You cannot spend time with God and he leave you completely to yourself. You cannot continue to walk with God and he don't bug you. If God is not bugging you, there's something wrong. If God is not tugging on your heart, if he's not begging you just a little bit more, there's something ain't right a little bit. You need to kind of cultivate that relationship with him. But you got to believe and trust him. Are you willing to make those necessary adjustments? 2014, a new year. Why not start it off right? Why not trust God for something great and awesome? I know we're believing him for some great things at work, amen? But we got to make those adjustments in order for that to happen. You just got to make those adjustments. It's not going to happen just like that. You got to show God that you're willing. If you make one step, he make two steps. If you do three, God do five and six. He see that you're willing to make those necessary adjustments. He see that you're willing to do whatever it takes. Because when I was in the world, when I needed to get something, whatever it took to get it, I did it. Amen. I got to use that same boldness for the kingdom of God. I got to have that same mentality there. I got to believe and trust God and allow him to come in and do what he desires to do in my life. You always benefit from just doing it God's way, making those necessary adjustments. The kingdom of God, you just got to do it. I'm gonna get ready to close out there because I can go on and on and on. I try not to do that, but I thank everybody once again. But once again, are you willing to make those adjustments? Just start the new year off as a church of the whole and even with your life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And there are some in here, you believe in God for something great and awesome with your family and with a loved one in your family. God is out and you're willing to forgive. Forgiveness is an adjustment. He said, are you willing to let that offense go? Even though it hurt it, but are you willing to let that offense go? That's making adjustment. That's making adjustment, doing it God's way. He's going to restore some relationships, some family issues in here. But why not start it off this year? Why not do it the right way? He's saying, why not bring a closure to those family issues? Because we all have them. Can I get amen? But he's saying, are you willing to make that adjustment in your family's life with forgiveness? Start off with forgiveness in 2014 and watch what that do. He says, quit harboring that ill unforgiveness in your heart. He's saying, let it go and watch what he do in some families here, in some restoration. He say, know it hurt and he understand, but if you got to make that adjustment, get on board to what he's doing in your family life and you won't be disappointed. Can we bow our heads? Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We bless you. We give you all the glory and all the honors, Lord. And God, you've seen the hands, but better yet, you know the heart, Father, of those who desire to make that adjustment, Lord. So God, just come in with a willing heart, with those open mind, Father. God, if they make the adjustment, I know that you would do the rest, Lord. So God, 2014, Father, would be a new beginning, a new year, because we're getting on board with your plan and your purpose. Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we bless you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.